You're tuned in to Panhandle Community Radio, and it's time for Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Jim Healy, and each week we are sitting down with representatives from each of the 50 states, one person from each state, and we'll do two states a night, and that will take us through the winter months until Gail Findley returns and takes over as Velma Queen of Fun during this time slot. Right now, it's time for us to talk to a representative from the Mount Rushmore state, our 46th most populous state, or you might say our fifth least populous state. the 40th state in the union, with a induction date into the union on November 2nd, 1889. We are talking with a South Dakotan today, and Patty Erickson is here. Thanks for joining us, Patty.
Thank you for inviting me.
So where in South Dakota do you hail from?
I hail from southeastern South Dakota. I was born in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and spent the rest of my South Dakota time, which was considerable, 48 years, in a smaller town 45 miles northwest of Sioux Falls, Madison, South Dakota.
Okay, I'm just trying to imagine that. What's the state like there as opposed to northwest or northeast?
Well, South Dakota is much like the state of Washington. There's an east side and a west side, and it's East River and West River. So the Missouri River splits the state almost in half. So there's a distinct difference between the two halves of the state, much like Washington. And maybe you could analogize it to North Idaho and South Idaho, too. I mean, they're just the landscape is very different. South Dakota on the eastern side is flat. I come from the prairie and very oriented towards farming. The West River is ranch country and also home of the Black Hills, Mount Rushmore, and all of that kind of stuff. But where I'm from, it's very flat. It's very beautiful in a very unique way.
I can remember I used to live in Billings, Montana, and would head eastward on I-90. And I swear, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, as soon as I hit Mitchell, South Dakota, it became humid. I swear. I'm not kidding you, Patty.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Does it? And when you were describing East River and West River, I'm thinking, I wonder, you know, farming, ranching, is it humid around south?
Not where I'm from. It's not particularly humid, although more humid than here.
Okay.
So down in Vermilion, South Dakota, which is in the very lowest southeast corner of South Dakota, I'm looking at the map up here so I can get my directions right. It is really humid because it's on the banks of the Missouri River.
Missouri River.
But the eastern part of South Dakota gets more rainfall and is much wetter, therefore better farming.
Okay. Do you have early memories of, being a child or a youth and engaging with the landscape? Or
yeah, I mean, daily. But
were you near water?
Well, the Madison, South Dakota is in Lake County.
Okay.
And there's a lake on each side of the town. So, yes, we're near water. My family always had a summer cabin and a cabin, not a palatial house, a very much a cabin on Lake Madison where we spent most of our summers. But our summers always included a trip to the Black Hills. And this is before I-90. This was when we went across on Highway 34. And it was before air conditioning in cars. So it was blistering hot. And one of my favorite memories is my parents would take, this is before my two younger siblings were born, my sister and I would be put in the back seat of the car on a crib mattress that they would balance in the back of the car. And then we would sleep in the back of the car covered with newspapers to keep us cool.
Covered with newspapers?
Yes, they would layer newspaper on us to keep the sun off us.
Well, that's awesome.
It was kind of weird, right?
But unique and memorable.
Oh, very memorable.
Wow.
I took a trip as a youth out to the Black Hills of South Dakota as well. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
I'm sure you did, being a Minnesotan.
Being a Minnesotan as I am, yeah. The Black Hills were well within our reach. Yes. And we had air conditioning, though.
Yes, so I'm considerably older than you are, so.
Yeah. But that that's very cool. So you went every summer.
Pretty much. The vacation for South Dakotans.
Yeah. And this was, so what do you see in the Black Hills?
Hills.
Yeah.
It's quite beautiful. The Black Hills are very ancient hills, and they've been worn down by weather, storms, all of that kind of thing. They're rugged. There's different, the northern hills are different from the southern hills in amounts of water. The Needles Highway is in the Black Hills, which is just stupendous. It's a curving highway through granite monoliths that are right next to you. And if you're behind a large camper, it's interesting to see them navigate that. Beautiful reservoirs and lakes in the Black Hills. Good hiking. Just a really, really beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. The Black Hills are not, they're not like the Rocky Mountains or like the Appalachians. Within the North America that I'm familiar with, it's a rather unique landscape.
It is. Yeah. It is. And it's more ice. It's not a part of a contiguous, north to south range.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smaller range.
Yeah. And of course there is some sculptuary there.
There is sculptuary there. Uh-huh. Better known as Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you go, as a South Dakotan, when you go to the Black Hills, do you go every year to see Mount Rushmore? Is it the kind of thing that you've seen it once and we don't need to
go there? Oh, no, you go every year.
You must go every year.
Yes. And you must go to the gift shop.
Okay.
And you must get a trinket of some sort. Yes. Uh-huh.
You do go every year. Or
I
you
did.
You would. You did
I
go
did.
Every year.
It was pretty standard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when I was in high school, I had a really outstanding high school band experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the Black Hills 3 out of my 4 years of high school in the summer.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. And we marched in a couple parades in the Black Hills, and we visited, there was a veterans home there. We played for veterans. And so went on school buses to the Black Hills.
Okay.
Which was not the longest school bus trip I took.
And what would that have been?
They loaded us up into 3 school buses plus 1 school bus for all of our equipment, and we went to Washington, D.C. School buses, stayed at school gyms on World War II salvage or leftover cots, which at least one a night would rip in two, and you'd hear somebody go, stayed in school gyms.
How many days did it take by school bus to get to Washington, D.C.?
I'm not so sure. We stayed in 3 or 4 different places, out and back. And I am amazed now, being an adult, that we had chaperones willing to go.
Just simply the logistics of it all.
It was truly, truly amazing. Because every night when we landed at a school or wherever we were going to stay, it was always at school gyms, they would get out all of our cots, we'd set those up, but they'd get out all of our instruments, and we would practice our marching.
How about food? Do you happen to remember?
They would call ahead and order, 60 hot beef sandwiches. And that's what you would
eat.
Oh,
Patty, that is, what a wonderful memory.
Yes, and then we played on the steps of the Capitol, and we were introduced to many senators and representatives and got to sit in hearing rooms and take tours of the White House and the Capitol.
So was this like over July 4th weekend or?
Oh, gosh.
I.
No, probably not. But I don't remember the date. I do have pictures, so I could check that.
How from your memory, okay, you're going to Washington, D.C., you're practicing and whatever, you're there, you're seeing all these, memorials and buildings that you know about, the White House, the Capitol, and returning to South Dakota, how did it feel returning? Can you remember that when the buses arrived back, in the high school parking lot?
Sure, to much fanfare.
Okay, wonderful.
Oh, yes, people would be lining the highway when we came back.
Oh, it was sort of like went off in adventures in a new land, and people listened. Did they do like presentations at the high school?
No, they didn't do that because we hadn't won any awards. We just took this big trip, but our parents were also excited to have us back home. Mm-hmm. We think. I felt like I had really grown up. I had been somewhere I'd never been before. I had been out of the state of South Dakota before, but a lot of my friends had not. Mm-hmm. So it was huge. And when we were in DC area, we stayed at the University of Maryland in the dorms there.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
That was luxurious.
Let's see. Let me throw out a few more just things I know about South Dakota. I think we mentioned Mitchell already. The town,
the Corn Palace.
The Corn Palace.
The Corn Palace, yes.
Tell us about the Corn Palace.
It's wonderful.
It is artistically mm-hmm. amazing. You mm-hmm. know, someone designs it every year, and they make the mm-hmm. outside murals out of corn. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. Then they have the Corn Palace days where they have in the fall where they have parades and they have musical events. They have a whole series of musical events. I saw Bobby Vinton there when I was in high school,
ooh.
Which was big. And when I was younger, I saw Red Skelton.
All right.
Red Skelton. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And they would bring in, national acts mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. have a carnival and parades. Yeah. And the big disappointment was when you go in the Corn Palace because it's a gymnasium.
It's just a gym. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right, yeah, you kind of expect it to be more palatial. There should be a crown, or there should be a throne made of...
Exactly what I expected.
Yes.
But my kids, when they played high school uh-huh. basketball, played basketball in the Corn Palace.
In the Corn Palace.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
As the summer wears on into autumn, do birds pick at the corn, or does...
I don't know. I never...
I wonder how just simply...
I would
it
guess
deteriorates.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would guess they do.
Yeah, and then they rebuild it every spring.
It's rebuilt every year.
Mm-hmm. It's worth. Haven't you ever stopped there?
I have.
I have.
I have been to the Mitchell Corn Palace, yeah.
And one of, if you look mm-hmm. back in the history books, Oscar Howe was a really famous Native American artist from South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful work. And he designed some of the murals two or three mm-hmm. years, which are very different from a lot of the more traditional kinds of murals that were done there. So you can look that up and see the Oscar Hall murals.
Hmm. Have you ever heard of the idea of North Dakota dropping the North and just becoming Dakota?
Well, originally it was all Dakota.
Right.
We were the Dakota Territory.
Yes.
Yeah. And then someone decided to put a straight line across the middle and make us two states.
Yeah.
But North Dakota daren't do that.
Well, I was
that's what I was thinking. What would a South Dakotan think about?
Think about that.
Going, becoming part of a,
Dakota.
Yeah.
Well, it would mm-hmm. have made so much more sense, like so many mm-hmm. states, if they would have split South Dakota along the Missouri River boundaries, because mm-hmm. the political, economic interests are very different on both sides of the state, and it would have made a lot more sense to split it that way. But they mm-hmm. didn't. They didn't, and so...
Yeah, I've seen an interesting map of the United States where they redesigned the boundaries of the states based on watersheds.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it actually makes a lot. It makes a lot more sense. That's if you were to organize the people that way, you'd find that they have a lot more common interests.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But anyway, that's an aside. How about Sturgis? Ever been to Sturgis?
I have been to the rally twice.
You've been to the rally?
Ooh.
Okay. Of course.
Uh-huh.
The first time I went mm-hmm. was with a girlfriend. We took four of our kids mm-hmm. and headed to Sturgis for a few days and had a wonderful time, hung out with the bikers who are generally absolutely wonderful people. We were doing tourist things, going to waterfalls and such with our kids, and they were out there, most of them not with kids, but doing the same things.
And we're talking about what the in the town of Sturgis, it's the world's largest motorcycle rally, right?
Oh my gosh,
right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of motorcycles, and that is just uh-huh. amazing to see.
Yeah.
Just amazing to see.
How long does it last? Do you know? Is it?
Well,
I could look it up, I suppose.
It's a concentrated thing for about a week, but it starts a week before that and ends a week after that. So if you're driving the interstate during that time, you will see mm-hmm. thousands and thousands of bikers. The second time I went, we went with family and stayed right in core of Deadwood. Mm-hmm. And my oldest daughter was inspired to buy a biker jacket, which she still owns. It's very, very fun. Leading Deadwood, the two cities there, or small towns really, are really fun.
And Deadwood is, that's a tourist attraction itself.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. That's made up to basically still look, is the town that exists now basically the same town that existed as is and just preserved, or did they rebuild it?
No, they had a big fire upon which Kevin Costner built a casino restaurant up on the thing of the big fire. But most of downtown Deadwood is uniquely preserved and hasn't been rebuilt.
I see.
Yeah, at least since I've been there.
Right. And they were able to then shoot a TV show there for HBO, I believe.
Were they?
Yeah. There's a show called Deadwood.
But is that in Deadwood?
It's based in Deadwood.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. You can check it out if you want.
Okay.
And it's... anyway, yeah, it's a rough and tumble Western kind of a show.
I think it was a rough and tumble place.
It seems like it.
Yes, yeah, I think it's probably somewhat accurate. Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. And that's where, was it Wild Bill Hickok met his end?
Yes, it is.
Aces and Eights.
The number nine saloon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is contested, but I'll just say
like a lot of lore.
Yes.
It is contested.
The location is contested, not his demise.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you, Petty, do you get back often?
I do. I still have family there. In Eastern South Dakota, I have a sister and her family, my son and his family, my brother.
So a lot of
family still.
Now, how long have you lived here in Sandpoint?
I've lived, well, I can go, I'll go the itinerary of my...
Sure.
I left South Dakota when I was 48.
Okay.
And so I had lived there 48 years.
A chunk of years.
And then I moved to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Yes.
Marquette?
Uh-huh. No, Houghton.
Okay.
On the Keweenaw Peninsula.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, boy, can you pronounce those.
Well, I lived there for 5 years. And after that, I took a job at WSU in Pullman.
Okay.
Okay, that brought you out in this area.
That brought me out here. I was in Pullman for 15 years. But in the last 3 or 4 years of that, we bought a home up here.
Okay.
And my husband retired 2 years before I did. And so I commuted back and forth for 2 years.
No.
Yeah, on weekends.
Okay.
And then I moved. We bought our house in 2011 and I moved here in 2017 permanently.
Okay. When you go back to southeastern South Dakota, do you feel that it's changed? It's not the same as when you were a child and growing up. What are your feelings when you go back home?
Well, one of the things that I love seeing is the sky, because the sky is beautiful and there's a 360 view. The small town I grew up in has changed drastically.
Has it shrunk?
It hasn't shrunk because there is a small university there.
Okay.
But the availability of goods, not so much services, but goods has changed the shopping outlook. When I was growing up there were four department stores in this small town.
Wow.
And ladies' dress shops and men's shops and a boutery and all of that's gone. And that started way before Amazon. So that part I do miss that. But one of my children lives in South Dakota, or Sioux Falls, which has grown enormously since I left there. And so Sioux Falls has kind of taken up the consumer space.
I'm looking at the article here right now. Sioux Falls now accounts for more than one third of, or the metropolitan area accounts for more than one third of the total population of the state.
Absolutely.
Lives in.
It's spread out.
Yeah. In Sioux Falls, which is about the estimated to be more than 200,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big town.
It is a big town.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And there are also, I want to get this in. The University of South Dakota, where I got my undergraduate degree, is in Vermilion, South Dakota, way tucked in the southeastern corner. Yeah, right across the bridge the Bridge to Nowhere, to Nebraska, which goes into Dickinson County, Nebraska, which has a population of probably 12. But it's a great bridge.
Well, I don't know if Nebraskans would like to be calling nowhere.
That part of Nebraska is pretty nowhere. And it's and it's about 30 minutes from Iowa. So it's really in that deep corner. Anyway, there is a place there called the National Music Museum that if you are traveling through South Dakota, it would be well worth your time to go there. It has the most amazing collection of musical instruments, including Stradivarius guitars, Stradivarius violins, every famous maker, the most amazing collection of reed instruments, brass instruments, a whole room of Asian instruments, big drums. And it also has, a long, long time ago, we took some friends who were in South Dakota for a conference there, and one of them was a researcher who did research into sheet music, old music, and he was just blown away.
How did it end up there? I mean,
well, there was a man named Arnie Larson,
who
I taught his kids when I taught high school in Vermilion.
No way.
Yeah. And he was just into collecting instruments, and he spent all his time and all his money collecting instruments, and they grew and grew and grew. They've kept on collecting instruments.
Okay,
and it's an amazing place.
One more time, where is it located?
In Vermilion, South Dakota, and it's the National Music Museum.
Is it with the university?
It's right on the university campus.
And it has the university as a support system?
I'm not sure if it's a support system, but it's located in the old student union.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Our time grows short. Do you... we haven't talked about food. Maybe that's on purpose. I don't know. Is there any food you miss from your days in South Dakota?
No. Okay. But there's a resurgence in South Dakota of Native American chefs and food. And I would really like to try that when I go back next time.
Yeah. I've noticed that in Minnesota now when I go back too. Some of the most popular new restaurants have a Native American influence.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
I would be remiss before we let Patty go, and you'll know the answer, obviously, because Patty's here in the studio representing South Dakota. But back in the day when I played Trivial Pursuit, there was a question of name the only state in the Union whose capital does not share a letter with the state.
Well, that is interesting trivia.
I mean,
you know, and now you go through, you're going through the other 49 looking
for a shared letter. And you go like, oh, you think it's a short one like Boise, Idaho. But what is it, Patty?
It's South Dakota, and the name of the city would be Pierre.
Pierre.
Spelled like Pierre, but Pierre.
Pierre. And you look at it, and it's long, lots of letters, and you think there'd be, but there's only, then that's the only state in the Union that does not share a common letter with its capital and its state. And I did not get the answer, but once I knew the answer, I've never forgotten it. So a little bit of trivia for you.
A bit of trivia.
You know, that when you're in between playing instruments or whatever like that, you can say, by the way, and you can dazzle.
There you go.
Pierre is located almost dead center in the middle of the state.
It is.
It's conveniently located.
Or inconveniently located for everyone who's from a populated area. I mean, it's far from Sioux Falls. It's far from Rapid City. It's far from Aberdeen.
Yeah.
It isn't conveniently located. It just must have made people happy. I don't know.
It's equally inconvenient for everybody.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Except for people who live there.
Right.
Yes.
It's like Bismarck in that way, isn't it? Bismarck seems like it's almost right in the middle of the...
I'm sure North Dakota copied South Dakota that way.
Yeah,
probably. I'm picking up, before we let Patty go, a little bit of, dissonance between South Dakotans and North Dakotans?
Oh, it's funny. It's just a joke. It's not as tense as it once was between South Dakota and Minnesota. We had governors who threw insults regularly across the border.
I consider our rivalry as a Minnesotan, I consider it to be more like with Wisconsin. But that probably comes from once professional sports enters the equation, then
it changes the landscape.
Easy to have that kind of rivalry. We are we're out of time, and I think our next guest is waiting in the wings, so we must bid adieu to our South Dakotan. Any final wisdom for us from the state of South Dakota?
As you're going across the state, go to the Black Hills, but as you're heading towards Mitchell and then down to Vermilion, stop in the Badlands. We haven't even talked.
They are the most stupendous
place. And spend time. Don't just take the Badlands loop. Spend half a day and just go deeper into the Badlands and get out and walk. And if you have the amazing experience to be there in the spring, that's just astounding because there are things that bloom. But if you're there after a big rain, the colors are just to die for.
Mm-hmm.
So they're worth it.
We'll talk about the Badlands some other time when we're doing. Is that a national park?
Yes, it is.
Okay, when we do the next series on the national parks, maybe we can talk about.
Yeah, and
the
then
Badlands.
We can talk about Wall Drug.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Wall Drug. All of these things in South Dakota we need to get to.
Larry's, thank you so much, Patty,
thank you
for
so much
sharing
for,
your stories
wanting to know about my home state.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.